Brothers and sisters in the Lord, I wish you all a happy Easter. Christ is risen, and together we all say he is risen indeed. Our text today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. We're going to be looking at Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Matthew 28, 1 to 10. The crucifixion of our Lord Jesus on that first Good Friday has now taken place. Our Lord Jesus died, and his dead body was taken down from the cross and placed in a tomb not far from the place where he was crucified. Guards have been put in place to watch the tomb and to make sure that nothing is done to remove the body. Well, now we come to the first day of the week. Israel's Sabbath day is now over. It's early morning on the first day of the week, and some women, followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, have come to the tomb. So let's look at what happened together. Matthew 28, 1 through 10, we hear now the word of God. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Our Father, we give you thanks for your word today, for the word that tells us of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would give us ears to hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, as we read about the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus on the pages of the New Testament, we find that there are a number of places where our Lord spoke of his coming resurrection from the dead. There are places where we find Jesus speaking of his approaching death as well as his resurrection. For example, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, we have Jesus speaking to his disciples. Peter, the apostle, had just confessed his belief that Jesus is the Christ. And it's at this point that Jesus tells the disciples what it means that he's the Christ. We read in chapter 16, beginning in verse 21, that from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Jesus began to teach them. He began to teach them that he would be killed, and then after 3 days he would rise again. We turn one chapter over then to Matthew chapter 17. And here we find something that sounds very similar. In Matthew 17, verse 22, it says, "As they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day.'" Notice that. "And he will be raised on the third day." We now turn a few pages over to Matthew chapter 20. Again, we have Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says to them, beginning in verse 18, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." So during the course of our Lord's ministry, he spoke very clearly of his resurrection. He told the disciples that he would die, that he would be put to death, and he told them that he would rise again from the dead, that in fact it would be on the third day. Jesus spoke very clearly about both these things, his death and his resurrection. And yet, as we read of these two events in the Gospels, as we read about his death and resurrection, it's apparent that none of the disciples were expecting these things when they actually happened. The disciples were not looking for our Lord Jesus to be crucified. After all, they believed he was the Messiah, the promised son of David, who would be king over Israel. They did not understand that for Jesus, the kingdom was to come by way of the cross. And even though Jesus had spoken to them of his suffering and death, the disciples somehow couldn't get it. And so they were devastated when he died. When Jesus died, it seemed to them like everything was over. All their hopes had come to nothing. It just didn't make sense that this man in whom they had believed should suffer and die. Yes, Jesus had told them, but somehow they were never able to understand or accept it. They were not looking for the Lord to die on a cross. And if they were not expecting the death of Jesus on a cross, then they certainly were not looking for his resurrection either. When the first Easter Sunday came, no one was looking to find an empty tomb and a risen Christ. Now, of course, for us today, we all know about Easter. We all know that Easter is the day of the resurrection of our Lord. But on that first Easter Sunday, the people were not thinking this way at all. No one woke up on that first Easter morning thinking Christ is risen. No one was thinking that the tomb would be empty. But as we see in our passage, that's exactly what happened on that first Easter Sunday. Let's look at the scene in our passage a little more closely together. Our theme today is the empty tomb of Easter. And there are three things I want us to see here, three things. In the first place, I want you to notice the first visitors to the empty tomb. Who are the first visitors that came to the tomb on that day? We're told at the beginning of the passage that after the Sabbath was over, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. In Mark's gospel, this other Mary is identified as Mary, the mother of James. In Mark and Luke, we learn that some other women went to the tomb as well. Luke mentions Joanna, and Mark mentions a woman named Salome. Here in Matthew, we're only told about the two Marys. But in all four Gospels, what is made absolutely clear is that the first people to visit the Lord's tomb on that first Easter Sunday were women. Women such as Mary Magdalene, who were followers of Jesus Christ. You know, in the Gospels, we hear a lot about our Lord's disciples. We know about the 12 men who followed Jesus during the course of his ministry. But there were also women who were among the Lord's disciples as well. We hear a little bit about that in Luke's gospel. Listen to Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. It says that soon afterward, Jesus went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. Among the followers of Jesus were women, most notably Mary Magdalene. And it was Mary Magdalene and some of the others who have the distinction of being the first people to come to the tomb on that Easter Sunday morning. They were the first people to know that something amazing had happened. They were the first witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's interesting, it was not Peter who was first to the empty tomb, as prominent and important as Peter is in the Gospels. It wasn't James, it wasn't John, it was the women. They were the ones who were the first on that Easter Sunday morning. In our day, it's sometimes suggested that the Christian faith or the Bible is anti-woman. It suggested that the Bible looks down upon woman. And yet it was the plan and purpose of our God that women disciples should be the first to see the empty tomb of his son. And all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them, they all emphasize that the first witnesses to the empty tomb were women. And remember, this happened in a world that did not value the testimony of women. In the eyes of the world, Mary Magdalene would not have been the best witness to the resurrection of Christ. Her testimony would not have been counted for much in the world of that time. If you were wanting to make the case for the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the world of that day, you would not look to point to women or someone like Mary Magdalene as the first witnesses. And yet the Lord, who makes foolish the wisdom of the world, chose women to be the first witnesses to the resurrection of his son. And what is more, the gospel writers in the early Christian church did not shy away from declaring that it was these women who first witnessed the empty tomb on that Easter Sunday. So that's the first thing this morning. It was the women who were the first witnesses of the empty tomb. In the second place, I want us to notice the inside of the empty tomb. What were the women able to see inside the tomb? Well, let's look again at the scene in the passage together. Matthew tells us that there was an earthquake. Why was there an earthquake? It was because of the angel of the Lord that came down from heaven. This was literally an earth-shaking moment. Just think about it for a moment. I know most of us have probably read these passages before, and we kind of know how this story goes. But just think for a moment about these women and what they saw and what it was like for them. They didn't see all of this with the understanding that we now bring to it today. These women had no idea that they were in the midst of the climactic moment of redemptive history. They didn't know that they were right in the middle, that they were right in the middle of the action on the first Easter Sunday. But here it is, the shaking of the ground, the angel from heaven. It's an amazing moment, and it's happening right before their eyes. Continuing on, we're told in verse 2 that after the angel came down, he went to the tomb and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. He rolled away the stone. Why? Remember, the tomb is already empty. Jesus has already been raised up. Jesus has already left the tomb. Jesus didn't need the stone to be rolled away. Why does the angel roll away the stone? Well, he does it for the women and for us. He does it so that the women can see inside and see that the tomb is empty. And that's what happens. And what do the women see as they look inside the empty tomb? They see nothing, or at least no one. In Luke's gospel and John's gospel, we hear about linen cloths and cloths which wrapped the Lord being found in the tomb. But the big point here is that the tomb was empty. The body of Jesus was not there. And you'll notice how much this point is stressed in the passage. Listen to the words of the angel after he rolled away the stone. Beginning in verse 5, he says, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Come and see inside. Come and see that the tomb is empty. Notice that. The angel wanted them to see the emptiness of the tomb, and that the body of Jesus Christ, the body that had been placed in that tomb dead, was no longer there. That's the point here. That's the point. The body was not there. Now, why is this so important? Why does the emptiness of the tomb receive such emphasis? It's important because it shows that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a resurrection of the body. You'll notice in all the Gospels that after Jesus is raised up, he appears to his disciples and speaks to his disciples on several occasions. It's very important for us to see that those were not simply appearances or manifestations of Jesus. When the disciples saw Jesus, it was not simply the spirit of Jesus or a visible form of Jesus that they saw with his dead body still back there in the tomb. No, what the empty tomb teaches is that the person that the disciples saw was the resurrected Jesus. It wasn't a ghost. It wasn't a spirit. It wasn't an appearance in some form that was speaking to them. It wasn't the manifestation of some person from beyond the grave. They saw the very Jesus who had died on the cross, the Jesus who had laid dead in the tomb, and who then on Easter Sunday had been raised up to life again and left the tomb behind. That's why the empty tomb is so important. It means that the story of Easter is not a ghost story. It's a resurrection story. It means that the man who died and was buried on Good Friday had come back to life again. He was alive again. He exited the tomb and appeared to his disciples. The empty tomb means resurrection. If that tomb had not been empty, if Jesus' body had remained in the tomb, it would not matter how many appearances or manifestations of Jesus the disciples thought they saw. It would not be a resurrection of the body. And we would not have the hope and joy that we have today. The body that was placed in the tomb dead came out of the tomb alive. That's what happened to our Lord on Easter Sunday. And remember, that's what is going to happen to us as well. For not only is Jesus resurrected, but the Bible teaches that believers are also to be raised up from the dead. Our Lord Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, but we who believe in him will be raised up from the dead as well. That means that one day our tombs or our graves are going to be empty as well. The Bible's clear about this. Yes, our bodies die. Our bodies will return to the ground one day, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But there is a day coming when the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ, will return. And on that day, the bodies of the faithful are going to be raised up in glory. The bodies that were given to the ground in death are going to be raised up to life again. You see, Easter Sunday is just the beginning of the resurrection. It's just the first fruits, as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 15. One day our bodies will be raised up like our Lord's, and our graves will be empty, even as our Lord's was empty. The empty tomb of Easter means resurrection. When the women looked inside the tomb on that first Easter Sunday, there was no one laying there. Praise God, they saw no one. And that brings me to the third thing this morning. In the third place, we meet the Christ who had left the empty tomb. When the women looked inside the tomb, it was empty. Jesus wasn't there. And the angel then instructed them in this way. He said, "Go and tell his disciples. Go and tell them that Jesus is risen." So the women left the tomb, and what happens then? We're told that they met Jesus himself. Listen again to what Matthew says, beginning in verse 9. It says, "Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and they will see him.'" Jesus, the risen Lord, meets them. Not a ghost, not the spirit of a dead Jesus, but the risen and living Jesus. He meets them. He is alive again. Notice how this is emphasized here. Notice how Matthew draws attention to our Lord's body and to the fact that the women clasped his feet. This is a point that we see emphasized in the Gospels. The people did not just see him. They did not just see him or hear him. They were able to touch him. It wasn't just the spirit of Jesus. It wasn't the spirit of a dead Jesus back from the dead. It was the body of Jesus which could be touched. Let me draw your attention to a few other passages where we see this emphasis. In Luke chapter 24, we have one of our Lord's post-resurrection appearances to his disciples. We read beginning in verse 38. Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. In John chapter 20, we have the Lord's appearance to doubting Thomas. We read in verse 27, "Then Jesus said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.'" Again, we see the emphasis on the Lord's body. He could be touched. In Luke, we hear of him eating from a piece of fish. Resurrection. Resurrection. The same Christ who was placed in the tomb dead on Good Friday came out of the tomb on Easter Sunday, and he spoke to the women and he showed himself to the disciples. This wasn't the spirit of a dead man. This was a man raised to life again. Our Lord, who gave himself for us and for our sins on Good Friday, was raised up to life again on the first Easter Sunday. As Peter says in Acts chapter 3, as he was preaching in the temple, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." The tomb was empty. So we have seen the visitors to the tomb, we've seen the emptiness of the tomb, and we've seen the Christ of the empty tomb. Finally, today, I want to ask you, what does the empty tomb of Easter mean for you? What does it mean for you that the tomb was empty on that day? Think about this for a moment. If that tomb on Easter Sunday had not been empty, if the women had come and the dead body had still been there, dead like all the rest of mankind, then you would not need to concern yourself much with Jesus of Nazareth. He would be an interesting historical figure who died a tragic death, but you could pretty much ignore him. That is not what happened. The tomb was empty, and Jesus was alive again, risen from the dead. And that changes everything. It changes our whole understanding of the world. We have to see the whole world in light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and God's purpose in Christ. The empty tomb means that we all must deal with Jesus. We cannot ignore him. We cannot dismiss him. We can't say, "Well, I'm not interested in this person." We can't ignore him. The empty tomb of Easter vindicates all that Jesus said and did. It vindicates him as God's true prophet and as the Christ sent by God. The resurrection shows us that Jesus is truly God's Son and that he is truly Lord, that he is indeed the King and Savior promised by God. Because God raised Jesus from the dead, we see that he is truly King of kings and Lord of lords. We see that he is the Savior and King, and that we owe him our lives and our allegiance, our faith and our obedience. I cannot ignore Jesus. I must deal with him. I cannot simply avoid the Son of God. He is the King, and I must follow him. We all must follow him. The resurrection means that Jesus Christ is Lord and that we are to give ourselves unreservedly to him. We must all deal with Jesus Christ. We are to believe in him, follow him as Savior and Lord. The empty tomb changes everything. We must all face the reality of what happened on that first Easter Sunday. Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. And that is good news. It is good news for you. It is good news for the world. Praise God that the tomb was empty. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the empty tomb on that first Easter Sunday and for the Christ who was raised from the dead and who left the tomb alive again. We thank you for his resurrection and for the hope that that gives us as your people. Help us to live in that hope today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.